Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 22nd, 2021. Coming up this hour.
A key moderate Democrat agrees to a tax plan to fund President Biden's economic agenda.
Shares of Snap and Intel plummet following earnings reports.
The Fed bans top officials from buying individual stocks and bonds.
And Bitcoin gets another futures ETF launched on Wall Street.
The House votes to hold Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress, plus tragedy on the set of an Alec Baldwin movie. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Dodgers crushed the Braves to stay alive in the NLCS. The Rangers won. The Islanders and Devils both lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And NASDAQ futures are falling on this Friday morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, NASDAQ futures down 53 points. S&P futures little change, down 3.5. And Dow futures also little changed, up 5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6 of a percent. And the 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.68%. Nathan.
All right, Karen. We'll have more on the markets in a minute. But first, maybe some movement on President Biden's economic agenda. Bloomberg News has learned that moderate Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema has agreed to a plan to fund the measure, and Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Sources say Sinema will support ways of increasing revenue from domestic corporations, global companies, and the very wealthy. The specifics aren't clear, but the changes would provide enough revenue to fund the roughly $2 trillion social spending package. House Ways and Means Chairman Richard Neal says he and Sinema discussed his plans to increase the corporate tax from 21% to 26.5% and the individual rate from 37% to 39.6%. They also talked about taxing the profits that U.S. companies earn abroad, but didn't come away with any formal agreement. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Like you said, the specifics still are not clear, and the picture gets even cloudier when you listen to what President Biden said about negotiations with Senator Sinema at last night's CNN town hall.
She's very supportive of the environmental agenda in my legislation. Very supportive. She's supportive of almost all the things I mentioned relating to everything from family care to all those issues. Where she's not supportive is she says she will not raise a single penny in taxes on the corporate side and or on wealthy people.
The president said that means he still does not think he'll have the votes to raise tax rates. But he does think Democrats will be able to agree on his overall economic agenda.
Well, meantime, Karen, the White House continues to look for ways to ease the supply chain backlog we've been seeing. The executive director of the port in Long Beach says the stockpile of ships won't clear up until next year. Ed Baxter has the story from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Director Mario Cordero says going to 24/7 operations will make a big difference, but that there are more than 70 vessels anchored off the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles. On Bloomberg, he was asked about the holidays.
Shop early, because these delays and bottlenecks are going to continue to the end of the year. Hopefully, we'll have some strong mitigating factors in terms of what we're doing. And the good news is there's strong collaboration by everybody in the supply chain to address this.
Cordero says with the ports at 24/7, the priority now is to make the entire supply chain, ports, trucks, warehouses, doing the same. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed, thank you. And we are seeing those supply chain issues taking a toll on corporate earnings. Shares of Snap down more than 20% this morning. The company said supply chain issues are weighing on advertising spending, and a move by Apple is also weighing on results. Bloomberg's Doug Krisner has more.
A key challenge stems from changes to Apple's data collection rules. All apps on the iOS 15 platform must now get iPhone users' permission to be tracked for advertising purposes. The analysis firm Branch says users have agreed just just 25% of the time. At the same time, Snap's advertising partners are facing supply chain disruptions and labor shortages, and that will also weigh on revenue. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Shares of Intel also falling this morning, down 10% after that company gave a lackluster forecast. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
If Intel's fourth quarter comes in as the chipmaker predicts, revenue will decline 3% from a year earlier, gross margin will drop 6.5 percentage points, and earnings per share will fall about 40%. Investors are focused on whether CEO Pat Gelsinger can improve Intel's products quickly enough to halt market share losses to rivals and defections by customers who are beginning to design their own components. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Well, big tech is hurting this morning. Bitcoin is continuing its strong week, and now there may be another catalyst to help the cryptocurrency move higher. We get the details from Bloomberg's Renita Young, who joins us live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. A second U.S. Bitcoin futures ETF is set to launch. Bloomberg News has learned that the Volcari Bitcoin Strategy Fund will begin trading on the NASDAQ today. It follows the successful debut of the ProShares Bitcoin Strategy ETF, the second busiest launch on record. Meantime, Bitcoin's surge tapered off after hitting a record high on Wednesday, but some strategists see it rising as high as $100,000 by the end of the year. Right now, Bitcoin is trading around $63,000. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. Let's turn to the Federal Reserve now. The central bank is making a big move in the wake of a controversy over officials buying securities. We get that story live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, Fed Chair Jay Powell says the central bank is banning top officials from buying individual stocks and bonds. It's also limiting active trading. The action comes after an embarrassing episode. The Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan and Boston's Eric Rosengren both stepped down following revelations of unusual trading last year. Powell's critics have seized on the disclosures as ammunition to block his potential renomination. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And turning overseas, news this morning on China's real estate sector. China Evergrande Group has pulled back from the brink of default. Sources say the embattled property developer has paid a bond coupon before this weekend's deadline, a 30-day grace period for the coupon would have expired tomorrow. NASDAQ futures leading the declines in the pre-market this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 63 degrees in Central Park, dealing with delays on the southbound New York State Thruway with a broken down tractor trailer near exit 14A. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Tragedy on the set of an Alec Baldwin movie in New Mexico. A prop gun misfired, killing a crew member and injuring the film's director. The sheriff's office says it was Baldwin who fired the gun by accident during filming of the Western movie Rust. Retired Albuquerque Police Department Commander Paul Syke has handled prop guns in other movies. He says while it's unlikely a live round could get into the mix, it could happen if someone was loading the prop gun in a hurry.
When loading that magazine, you would be able to clearly see, okay, look, this has a bullet on the end, a round on the end of it, or it doesn't.
Syke also says injuries are possible with a blank round as well. The full House voted Steve Bannon, an aide to former President Donald Trump, is in contempt of Congress for defying subpoenas from a panel investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. The vote was 229-202, with nine Republicans breaking ranks with their party leaders and joining all Democrats in voting yes. GOP Representative Nancy Mace of South Carolina was one of the few Republicans voting to hold Steve Bannon in contempt.
It's important that no matter who's in power, that we are consistent and our beliefs and our values in the Constitution and the powers and privileges thereof of Congress.
Representative Mace also says her vote was meant to safeguard the subpoena power of Congress in case Republicans need to use that tool when they are back in power. President Joe Biden said the U.S. was committed to defending Taiwan from a Chinese attack. Biden made his comments during a CNN town hall in Baltimore to protect the democratically ruled island.
China, Russia, and the rest of the world knows we have the most powerful military in the history of the world. Don't worry about whether they're going to be more powerful. What you do have to worry about is whether or not they're going to engage in activities that will put them in a position where they may make a serious mistake.
A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman offered only a mild rebuke, urging the U.S. to speak prudently on Taiwan and abide by its agreements. The month-long search for the only person of interest in the death of Gabby Petito is over. The FBI confirms the human remains found Wednesday in a Florida nature reserve are those of Brian Laundrie, who has been missing since mid-September. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, three home runs in a postseason game. It's an exclusive club. Reggie Jackson's in it. He did it at Yankee Stadium 44 years ago against the Dodgers. Last night, a Dodger joined the club.
2-2, Taylor with a fly ball to deep left center field. Chris Taylor has hit his third home run of the night and becomes the 11th different player in baseball history with three home runs in a postseason game.
KLAC, the calls, three home runs for Taylor and two for A.J. Pollock. Together, they drove in 10 runs. The Dodgers facing elimination, trailing Atlanta early on 2-0, then blew past the Braves 11-2. Atlanta still leads the NLCS 3-2. They blew a 3-1 NLCS lead to the Dodgers last year. The ALCS is 3-2 Astros. Game 6 with the Red Sox tonight in Houston. Another road win for the Rangers, 3-1 at Nashville. That's their third win in a row while on the road, and all with Igor Shesterkin in goal. He allowed one goal in all three games. Islanders lost 3-2 in overtime at Columbus. The Devils were beaten by Washington 4-1 in Newark. Knicks off the season opening double overtime win. Start a home-and-home with the Magic tonight in Orlando. The Nets play in Philadelphia. Steph Curry last night, 45 points. Two long-range threes in the final minute as Golden State beat the Clippers by two. Cleveland Browns had to play without quarterback Baker Mayfield and their two big running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They still beat Denver 17-14. The Broncos, fourth straight loss. They are 2-0 against the Jets and Giants, 1-4 against everyone else. The Giants Sunday host Carolina, and the Jets play in New England. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures up 12. NASDAQ futures down 44 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by InnovaLawn, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. InnovaLawn, data has a story to tell. InnovaLawn gives it a voice. NASDAQ futures are falling this morning, down 41 points. S&P futures little changed, and Dow futures up 22. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.68%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.45%. It is 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin, with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, right now Bitcoin is trading just over 63,000, and a couple of things are propping up the cryptocurrency today. Bloomberg News has learned that the second ever U.S. Bitcoin futures ETF is set to launch. The Volcari Bitcoin Strategy Fund will begin trading on the NASDAQ today, and it follows the successful debut of the ProShares Bitcoin Strategy ETF. That was the second busiest launch on record, and it racked up assets of over $1 billion in just 2 days. Bitcoin's surge tapered off yesterday after hitting a record high on Wednesday, but some strategists see it rising as high as $100,000 by the end of the year. Meantime, you may not have noticed, but the price of Bitcoin rapidly plunged about 87% on Binance's U.S. exchange yesterday morning. It sunk as low as $8,200 from around $65,000. And the price didn't do that on other venues, but on Binance, the level almost immediately snapped back to where it had been. Binance said a bug in a trading algorithm might have caused the sell-off.
And you can now buy Bitcoin at Walmart. The company just started a pilot program with 200 Coinstar kiosks in some of its U.S. stores. It's testing this service weeks after a high-profile hoax when a fake press release said Walmart would start letting customers pay in Litecoin. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. A prop firearm discharge by veteran actor Alec Baldwin, who is producing and starring in a Western movie, killed his director of photography and injured the director at the movie set outside Santa Fe. Major League Baseball, the Dodgers stave off elimination in the NLCS, beating the Braves 11-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. Supply chain issues are popping up everywhere. California's Port of Long Beach has moved to a 24-hour-a-day schedule to try to relieve the bottlenecks, but experts say even that is unlikely to fix the issue. Bloomberg's Caroline Hyde and Romain Bostic took a trip to the Port of Long Beach to find out more. They sat down with Mario Cordero, executive director of the Trading Hub. Let's listen into some of their conversation now.
Talk to us about some of the myths and misinformation that's going on around this. We hear the truck drivers blaming some of the operators. We see some of the like crane operators saying it's not our fault. We're working around the clock. You've already made great steps in terms of 24/7 work. Does that matter if the warehouses and the trucks aren't working 24/7 too?
Well, the 24/7 vision is to have the supply chain working 24/7, because as you've referenced, it cannot be just at a terminal at a port. It has to be the collaboration of the entire supply chain, truckers, the warehouses, railroads. So that's what we are having very good collaborative discussions about currently. Given the situation that we're in now, the choice of doing nothing is not an option. We need to really think out of the box and how we accelerate use of the gate and port operations.
And most of the solutions, though, I mean, these are going to be long-term solutions. They take some time to implement. Right. Prior to the current supply chain issues, there was a lot of money poured into the Port of Long Beach to improve it, to make it more efficient. You have a brand new bridge here that I'm told has helped to sort of alleviate some of the traffic coming in and out.
Absolutely. In the last 10 years, we've invested approximately $4 billion in capital improvement investments, and here you're witnessing one of them, the state-of-the-art terminal, the Long Beach Container Terminal, and then also the international Long Beach International Gateway Bridge that was inaugurated in October of last year. So as we could witness, there's no bottlenecks on that bridge regarding containerized cargo.
There's some 65 container ships that are currently at sea. Usually you have zero. You have them at sea for about 11 and a half days when they usually would just be in and out. What's the number one thing for you? Is there a number one thing that would help alleviate some of that pressure?
Well, there's a number of issues we have to address. And this is a national crisis, and for that matter, it's a global crisis. But I think for the Port of Long Beach, moving ahead with a pilot project to explore that 24/7 framework, and we're very thankful to the Biden administration, who is very interested in making sure that, number one, this cargo moves, and that we create a 24/7 vision throughout the supply chain. So I think the number one thing is for the stakeholders to come together, and we have that collaborative commitment. That's the good news. And see what we could do to really accelerate what has to be done here and talk about cargo velocity and not cargo volatility.
What's the main impediment to that right now to get there?
Well, I think right now, anytime you get an industry out of their comfort zone to change the model operation, that always takes time. But I think clearly this industry does have a labor shortage. But here in the port, we don't have a labor shortage of the men and women who work on the docks, thankfully, because of the leadership of our mayor, Robert Garcia, and our Governor Newsom. Early this year, we had a very proactive plan of action to vaccinate the dock workers. Now, we do have an issue, truck drivers and the warehouse personnel, in terms of the shortage of labor there.
Some of the truck drivers will say it's the chassis that are an issue, or some of the equipment that they need. I mean, there were 5-hour-long queues yesterday of the trucks out here. Are there any areas that we're not realizing that are the chokeholds here from a day-to-day managing of this amazing operation?
Well, none of those elements were unpredictable. You know, as the former chair of the Federal Maritime Commission under the Obama administration, we issued a study on congestion in July of 2015, citing these factors, the chassis issue, the turn time issue. These truck drivers, it's just unacceptable for them to be waiting a couple hours to get into a terminal. What this crisis has done is really ignited and accelerated discussion that we've been having for quite some years.
And that was Mario Cordero, executive director of California's Port of Long Beach, discussing current supply chain problems with Bloomberg's Caroline Hyde and Romain Bostic. You can get more of that conversation online at Bloomberg.com. Right now, S&P futures are a little changed to the upside. Dow futures are higher by 33 points. NASDAQ futures are lower by 36 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 6/32. The yield, 1.68% on the 10-year note. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Experience the e-tron family of fully electric vehicles at your tri-state Audi dealer today, delivering the performance you expect from Audi with an eye toward a more sustainable future.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
On Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with the latest on President Biden's economic agenda. Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema has been a holdout on supporting how to pay for the president's plan. But now Bloomberg News has learned she's agreed to a broad outline on raising tax revenue from companies and the wealthy. The details are not clear, and President Biden says Sinema is still opposed to raising tax rates, but he thinks they'll ultimately get a deal.
Look, I was a senator for 370 years, and I was relatively good at putting together deals.
And President Biden spoke to a CNN town hall last night in Baltimore. We're told the current plan calls for using tax enforcement to increase revenue from companies and the wealthy.
Well, Karen, returning to the markets now, shares of Snap are down more than 20% in early trading. The owner of the Snapchat app reported earnings that fell short of estimates. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Snap said it was weighed down by Apple's new data collection restrictions and their effect on digital advertising measurements. The company also warned that global supply chain issues are discouraging advertisers from trying to reach new customers and that this pullback will impact the company's business in the fourth quarter. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Intel also falling this morning, down 10% after the chipmaker said future profitability will suffer because of increased spending on manufacturing technology.
Bitcoin is set to close out a banner week with the launch of another ETF today. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bloomberg News has learned that the Volcari Bitcoin Strategy Fund will begin trading on the NASDAQ today. It follows the successful debut of the ProShares ETF, which racked up assets in over $1 billion in just 2 days. Now, some strategists see Bitcoin rising as high as $100,000 by the end of the year. Right now, Bitcoin is trading around $63,000. And I'm Renita Young, live in New York for Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And now to the Federal Reserve, where there's news that the central bank is making a big move on trading rules. We get the story live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
The Fed will ban top officials from buying individual stocks and bonds. That's after Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan and Boston's Eric Rosengren both stepped down following revelations of unusual trading. Critics of Fed Chair Jay Powell have since seized on the disclosures as ammunition to try and block his potential renomination. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And again, NASDAQ futures down 32 points this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street, 63 degrees in Central Park. We got an accident on the southbound Van Wyck at Linden Boulevard. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more of what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The House voted for a criminal contempt charge against former President Trump's former advisor, Steve Bannon, after he refused to comply with a subpoena from the January 6th Select Committee. Committee Chairman Representative Benny Thompson says Bannon's lack of cooperation left the committee with few options.
Our investigation is going forward. We're hearing from witnesses, reviewing documents, analyzing data. Mr. Bannon stands alone in his defiance, and we will not stand for it.
Attorney General Merrick Garland will make the final decision on whether to prosecute Bannon. A prop firearm discharge by veteran actor Alec Baldwin, who is producing and starring in a Western movie, killed his director of photography and injured the director at the movie set outside Santa Fe. Retired Albuquerque Police Department Commander Paul Syke handled prop guns in other movies.
It's a very strict process, very controlled. Because they obviously know we're dealing with weapons that are capable of firing live ammunition.
Production has been halted on the film Rust. The FBI announced that human remains, along with belongings found in an environmental park in Florida, were those of Brian Laundrie, the 23-year-old fiancé of Gabby Petito, had been missing for weeks. Petito, who was 22, was found dead last month in Wyoming. The medical examiner ruled her death was caused by strangulation. Laundrie family attorney Stephen Bertolino said Chris Laundrie found his son's bag in a part of the park that was flooded for weeks.
All the professionals that were in the park have said news reels, the film, the footage, everything shows this park was underwater.
Laundrie family attorney Stephen Bertolino spoke to WABC-TV. President Joe Biden said the U.S. was committed to defending Taiwan from a Chinese attack. Biden made his comments during a CNN town hall in Baltimore to protect the democratically ruled island.
China, Russia, and the rest of the world knows we have the most powerful military in the history of the world. Don't worry about whether they're going to be more powerful. What you do have to worry about is whether or not they're going to engage in activities that will put them in a position where they may make a serious mistake.
A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman offered only a mild rebuke, urging the U.S. to speak prudently on Taiwan. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stanshauer.
Nathan, nothing new about the Dodgers avoiding elimination. They did it three times against the Braves in last year's NLCS. This year, L.A. won that one-game wild-card playoff. Did that on a Chris Taylor walk-off home run in the ninth inning. They trailed the Giants 2-1 in the NLDS. Stayed alive by winning the last two games. And the Dodgers' season could have ended last night, but they beat Atlanta 11-2. Taylor homered three times, the 11th to do that in postseason history. A.J. Pollock hit two homers together. They drove in 10 runs. The Braves still lead the NLCS 3-2 with Game 6 tomorrow in Atlanta. ALCS Game 6 tonight in Houston. Astros lead 3-2. They've held the Red Sox in the last two games, only three runs and eight hits. Giants coach Joe Judge asked about the team's 1-5 record, took the blame, said the fish stinks from the head down. His team does have a ton of injuries. Judge says that's no excuse.
Unfortunately, it's part of the game, but it's part of the game we all sign up. You know what I mean? And it's our job to prepare every player. It's every player's job to be ready to produce. So we have that next man up mentality. Actually trying to push anybody out of the way, but when something happens, we got to keep moving forward. That game's going to be played either way.
Left tackle Andrew Thomas out at least 3 weeks. Giants Sunday not expected to have Saquon Barkley or the wideouts Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney. They host Carolina, so the ex-Jet QB Sam Darnold returns to MetLife. The Jets Sunday visit New England, who they've already lost 2-1, so the Pats are 0-4 at home. Last night in Cleveland, the Browns sent the Broncos to a fourth straight loss, 17-14. Rangers won 3-1 at Nashville. Alexis Lafreniere had the go-ahead goal midway through the third period. The Devils lost to Washington 4-1. The Islanders lost at Columbus 3-2 in overtime. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, I'm going to say it. Oh, snap.
Go ahead, Nathan. I'm not going to stop you. I will say, though, you got Snap, that's the owner of Snapchat, down about 21%, and other social media stocks falling as well. Facebook down 4%, Twitter down 4.5%, Pinterest down 2.5%. and Google's owner Alphabet, while you're at it, down 2%. All this coming off a disappointing fourth quarter outlook from the owner of Snapchat. Snap expects revenue to trail analyst average estimate in a Bloomberg survey by as much as 13%. Snap's third quarter sales also missed estimates. And then you have Intel, down 10.5%. The chipmaker said profitability will suffer in the next few years because of higher spending on production technology. Intel predicted the fourth quarter would bring a lower gross profit margin along with reduced sales and earnings. And off of that, you're seeing Intel's rivals move higher in early trading. Advanced Micro Devices up 2% and NVIDIA up 1%.
So we're seeing price pressures, spending pressures, and it's playing out in more stocks as well.
Absolutely. Chipotle Mexican Grill's down 0.5%. The restaurant chain said a staff shortage is hurting sales and it's going to be patient in raising prices to counter higher costs. Boston Beer's off 4%. The maker of Samuel Adams Beer had a wider third quarter loss than analysts expected. Boston Beer cited slower growth for its truly hard seltzer. That whole category is sort of falling out of favor with consumers. And Whirlpool is down 1%. The appliance maker posted third quarter sales at trailed estimates. Whirlpool said it's moving more goods by air and rail in response to supply chain issues. We've also gotten results in the last few moments from Honeywell International. Stock down about 2% in early trading. Honeywell's third quarter sales coming up short of analysts' average estimates, whether you look at total sales or what they call organic sales, excluding currencies and deal making, Honeywell, industrial company in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. You have Roku off 2.5%. The maker of streaming video players said YouTube TV may be removed from its service because of a dispute with the site's owner, Google. Zoom Video, though, up 2.5%. The video conferencing service trades the equivalent of buy from neutral J.P. Morgan. Mattel's up 6.5%. The toy maker beat third quarter earnings and sales estimates and raised full-year forecast. We have results coming up also from the credit card issue American Express, another Dow stock. And I got to say, Digital World Acquisition up 55.5%. This is the blank check company that's merging with former President Donald Trump's newly formed media company. That stock, blank check company, SPAC, up yesterday by 357%.
Yeah, bringing back the SPAC frenzy. Bloomberg stock editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always. NASDAQ futures lower right now by almost 33 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're almost at 6:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And NASDAQ futures moving lower this morning. NYMEX crude oil is on the rise. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures up 33 points, S&P's gained 4, and like you said, NASDAQ futures are trading lower by 26. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.68%, gold is up 12, oil is trading lower, Bitcoin is down by 4%, and Shanghai was under pressure overnight, while European markets are trading mostly higher this morning. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 9:45, U.S. October PMIs, and after the bell last night, Intel reported is down 10% in the pre-market, and Snap reported is down 21% pre-market. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, look for American Express and Seagate to report in the pre-market. And in other news, Walmart started a pilot program to sell Bitcoin at Coinstar kiosks in some of its U.S. stores. Wrapping things up, Intel was cut to equal at Morgan Stanley, was also cut to neutral at UBS. Moderna was rated a new sell at Deutsche Bank, and Zoom Video raised overweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Trump aide Steve Bannon was held in criminal contempt of Congress for defying subpoenas from a panel investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. The move puts the Justice Department in the middle of a politically charged legal battle. President Joe Biden told a CNN town hall the U.S. is committed to defending Taiwan. Taiwan from a Chinese attack. It was some of President Biden's strongest comments yet as the administration faces calls to clarify its stance on the democratically ruled island. Major League Baseball, the Dodgers stave off elimination in the NLCS, beating the Braves 11-2. Atlanta still leads the series 3-2. Thursday night football, the Browns beat the Broncos 17-14. NBA, the Warriors won. NHL, the Capitals beat the Devils 4-1. The Rangers won. The Islanders lost in OT to the Blue Jackets 3-2. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Tech. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Democrats' plan to catch tax cheats makes sense. I'm Alexis Leondis, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. One of the most controversial ideas proposed so far in Joe Biden's presidency has to do with the wonky world of IRS reporting forms. In an effort to ferret out tax cheats, Biden wants banks to tell the IRS at year-end what the total amount of withdrawals and deposits were for each of its customers. But the initial proposal mandated reporting for just about every account without any restrictions, leading many to question why Democrats care about people with small bank accounts if they just want to go after wealthy tax cheats. It's a shame the backlash may be too strong at this point, because the overall approach for uncovering those who don't report all their income is actually one of the most straightforward and unobtrusive ways to do it. I'm Alexis Leondis. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. U.S. public health advisors have voted unanimously to recommend COVID booster shots from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Vaccine Advisory Committee yesterday supported the additional shots in certain populations, following the outlines of U.S. regulators who cleared the shots Wednesday. NASA has launched an online platform with information on how much water evaporates into the atmosphere from plants, soils, and other surfaces in the U.S. NASA says the data could help water managers, farmers, and state officials better manage resources in the parched West. The platform provides data for 17 Western states down to the quarter acre on how much evapotranspiration has taken place. That's the process by which moisture in leaves, soil, and other surfaces evaporates into the air. Cyprus is aiming to join the global space exploration drive. It's developing a compact X-ray instrument capable of dating Martian soil and rock samples. The scientists chose Cyprus to develop the instrument because it can be tested on pockets of the East Mediterranean island nation's volcanic rock and soil that are similar to those found on Mars. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Senator Kyrsten Sinema agreeing to a broad tax outline to play for President Biden's economic agenda. The economy, voting rights, China relations all coming up in a CNN town hall for the president. And the House voting to hold Steve Bannon in criminal contempt. Let's get more on all these stories now. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us live from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in the nation's capital. Emily, what do we know about this broad tax outline that the senator from Arizona has reportedly agreed to?
We don't know much yet, Nathan, but I think the big news is that there is progress being made in getting an agreement with Senator Kyrsten Sinema on that revenue side of the package. I mean, she's sort of been a little shrouded in mystery. Joe Manchin's come out, been very clear about where he stands, what he wants. Senator Sinema, not so much. She has said that she does not want to raise the corporate tax rate. That proposal rate was going to raise from 21% to 26.5%. It was going to raise $540 billion. For this overall spending plan. And now Democrats have to find another place to raise that same amount of money. So there are a couple options that are on the table that are being discussed. One is an excise tax when companies buy back their own stock. There are also proposals on how to tax wealthier Americans and individuals without actually raising individual taxes. And so as these ideas are coming together, the main goal is just to make sure that the entire bill is paid for at the end of the day, that all those various components we've been talking about, the paid leave, the child care, the health care expansion, that those all wind up getting offset by revenues from the tax side.
There's only 9 days left till that self-imposed deadline for Democrats to agree on President Biden's agenda. Now we got a headline from Punch Bowl News this morning saying President Biden wants votes on both pieces of his economic agenda next week. Can that happen?
It's not looking very good at this point. I mean, we don't even know what the top line number for this bill is. We don't know details yet, like how long paid family leave might be, how long various programs might be funded. Certainly, we're seeing some progress this week. I mean, after lawmakers spoke with President Biden on Tuesday, they came back and they said, hey, we're thinking about, you know, cutting tuition-free college. We're thinking about, you know, this the clean energy power plant might not be in there, but we're exploring other options. And last night, President Biden's comments really solidified the fact that Democrats are in that process of slimming down that $3.5 trillion bill to closer to a $2 trillion bill. So we're starting to see that come together, but we are a very far away from saying that things are concrete. One thing that I have talked to lawmakers about is what they might need to pass that infrastructure bill, because remember, that's got some key funding in it that runs out by the end of the month for highways. And lawmakers said, look, if we have a solid framework for that reconciliation bill, the social spending and tax bill, if President Biden can sign off on that number and say he's confident in it, maybe we can move forward that infrastructure bill by the end of the month and then use that framework in place to wrap up the social spending part of the bill in the next few weeks.
It sounds like as we're getting closer to these deadlines, Emily, that the president's agenda is really getting whittled down here from what he'd been hoping for. Is the president sort of resigning himself to a less transformative economic agenda?
I think to some extent there was knowledge that the president's plan was going to be cut because he had such small margins to deal with. We always knew it was going to be difficult to get all Democrats on board for an agreement. And of course, there is some debate. If Biden goes too small, will his plan have the economic impact that he is hoping on the country? Will Democrats really be able to run on some of these provisions in 2022? But for Democrats, and I've heard this across the board, something is better than nothing. And a smaller package that 50 senators can agree to is better than a bigger package that just can't get the votes to go across the finish line.
In our last minute here, Emily, the House is getting closer to holding Steve Bannon in criminal contempt.
Yes, the House passed a resolution last night to hold Bannon in criminal contempt. And now the ball is in the court of Attorney General Merrick Garland. He's the one who's going to have to figure out how to go ahead and prosecute this. It's both him as well as the federal court in Washington, D.C. And, you know, Merrick Garland, he said that he doesn't want to use his office for political reasons and purposes. But they also say that they're looking into what the House has brought forward to them, seeing if there is, in fact, a criminal case to be made here. And if they do need to go ahead and prosecute Steve Bannon for not cooperating with the panel of lawmakers looking into that January 6 attack on the Capitol.
All right. The story continues. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always. Read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Futures mixed. I think it's safe to say S&P futures up 3, Dow futures up 38, NASDAQ futures still lower, down 31 points. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, the yield 1.68%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.